RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Oh, no.
Hey, welcome back to the Truth and Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm J-Clone36.
Today we're joined by a guest. Jay, who are we joined by?
We are joined by the Drunken Cryptids host, none other than Matthew Orton.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yay.
Welcome, Matthew.
Yay.
Sorry.
He's here to promote and sell things.
Go, Matthew. Go, yeah. That's the crowd behind us cheering.
Yay.
Yeah. So welcome. Welcome. It's been a long time.
It's been too long. How y'all doing?
Living the dream.
My body's broken.
Well, there's that too.
My body's broken.
I'm sick and everything hurts.
I'm still recovering from Saturday.
Ooh, Saturday. Rough weekend?
No, I was the pictures I sent you, I took it on Saturday.
Yeah, oh. I know. It's more fun though, and you just had a rough weekend. No, you did share some awesome pictures with us, but maybe we'll get to those later and discuss them, perhaps, if you would like to.
Of course.
But I think we have other things afoot.
As a matter of fact.
To discuss.
We do.
Sorry, that was just a bad joke. I had to shoehorn in there.
You going to say it, Jay?
Oh, yes. Well, so Matthew has graciously invited us to be speakers at the Arkansas Cryptid Fest, June 6th, in North Little Rock, Arkansas, at Old Bart's Tavern.
That's right. Woo!
That's not the date.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm just picking on you.
Okay. June 6th, 2026.
Yeah, Bart's doing a good job. He's actually shutting down the restaurant Friday at 3 o'clock for us, so we can do the VIP dinner, and he's going to cater that with all his barbecue. We're going to have a big spread.
It's good.
Yeah, for the VIP, for the speakers, y'all. And everybody's at the VIP ticket and, do a little meet and greet. We'll laugh, goof off, have some games and stuff. And then Yeah, so all the speakers that are VIP will be inside because it's going to be June, and it's Arkansas, so it's going to be not August hot, but it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, so we're shutting everything down. Then Bart's going to be doing his selling food out of his food truck. We're going to have the Donut Envy people there for donuts, and then that morning, Dark Side Coffee is going to be there, coffee for the vendors and people showing up early.
Good choice. We stopped there with you last time we were down in Arkansas, and I loved it.
We just had a listener going through. I can't remember who it was. Not when we were there, but went through North Little Rock, and they stopped at Dark Side Coffee.
Nice.
Oh, good.
They posted the pictures of it.
Spreading awareness.
Yeah.
As they should be.
That's a cool place. It's a Star Wars-themed coffee place, if anybody's curious.
You don't know the power of the dark roast. They need to have that.
I'm sure they have something.
They should.
Well, they can't use like the actual names of like, you know, because they're all copyrighted and stuff. So instead of Bubba Fett, they have the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
You know, they have the Senator. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they have the Dark Lord, you know.
I highly recommend it for anyone that's in North Little Rock. Just stop on over Dark Side Coffee.
So,
sorry. I was going to say, you talked about Friday, the VIP dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so that's going to be on June 5th. Yep, that'll be June 5th, and we're going to do that at 6 p.m.
And who will all be there attending?
Well, the VIP speakers, since you asked so politely, are going to be Todd Neese. He's going to be there. We're going to have Miss Betsy Kulowski. I can never pronounce your name, Betsy, and you know that. But she's awesome. And, of course, we're going to have Rod Nichols out of Bexar County in San Antonio. So what Rod did is, in 2020, he got onto a YouTube channel and binged it all night long. This guy out in Utah looking for tree structures. So he was like, there's no way. So he took the notes from the guy and he went out to the area outside of San Antonio. And he said within his first hour, he found one.
Huh. San Antonio, Texas?
Yeah, okay. In Texas. So, and he's been doing this for a long, he's been doing this since 2020. And so he's going to be there talking about the tree structures, how the tree structures are formed, how they're, you know, I mean, what he thinks on his theories and stuff, mm-hmm. and what he's been finding down there in Texas. So, and of course, we're going to have author Michael Cook as well. He's going to be with the VIP speakers. And he's a super great guy. I don't know if you guys have met him or not.
I don't think we have yet.
He was featured on These Woods Are Haunted. He had a really crazy encounter out there in Tennessee.
Okay.
So doing research and stuff like that. And it's where, you know, he reached out to come on the show and we talked and with just his experience and everything like that as well. And I decided to make him a speaker because, you know, and of course I have the wonderful Justin and Jay of the Cryptids of the Corn coming in. So like all the speakers are going to have some sort of different take on cryptids and paranormal. So I didn't want to just focus on Bigfoot. You know, there's enough Bigfoot festivals out there I wanted to dig into. More of the cryptid side of the house, more some of the other alternatives that we have based upon some of the other researchers and what they're doing. You know, with, you know, Michael Cook, what he does, he's trying to tie in Sasquatch in with some of the paranormal aspects of it all. Ron's focusing on structures. I already know what y'all's presentation is going to be, which brings a whole new light to the table. And it's an eye-opening. I mean, what y'all do, how you present everything opens people's eyes. Like the first time I heard it from you on your show, blown away to where I never looked at it that way at all. So, and then with, you know, Betsy, she does a lot of paranormal stuff and she's had a couple of Sasquatch encounters, she thinks. And then of course, you know, Tanya's been doing this for over 30 years coming to the table. But I want to bring a different aspect of speakers because it seems to me, and this is not an attack on anybody's festivals or anything at all. And I kind of took a page out of y'all's book. So for the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree coming up this October.
Maybe
just saying, get your tickets. What do you mean, mate? October? You're not doing it in October?
No, that's a joke.
He's just joking.
We're doing it.
Oh,
Jay's making me.
Of course, but no. So take a page out of y'all's book. I did not want to have the usual speakers that everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
Every time there's a festival, I get excited, and then I look at the speakers and I go, same ones.
Seen them already.
Seen them. Yeah. There's nothing new to where there's. There's nothing out there for new people to come in with new research, new ideas, and new theories.
I agree.
You know,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, You know, and again, I don't want to, I'm not attacking anybody's festival out there because I know they're trying to do a good job. They're trying to get the information out there, but it seems they get in a comfort zone and they want to stay with it. We have the same speakers. We have the same this, the same that. I already know what Bob's going to talk about. So Bob's going to come in and talk about his encounter from 1975.
Yep. Which is nothing wrong with that. But,
no, but yeah,
when you've been in the field for this long or been researching it this long or been involved this long, you personally want new ideas, new experiences. You don't want to keep regurgitating the same old stuff.
I mean, even if you're casual, like going to these festivals.
Yeah.
Like if you heard some of these people, like you said, they had the amazing one encounter. You've heard them though.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change or it shouldn't change.
Right. It shouldn't.
It shouldn't. But no, I mean, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to get actual, you know, people who are doing the research, people who are actually out there, boots on the ground, to come in and be able to present and show their findings. You know, the people who weren't on TV, the people who are not, you know, TV stars or the big names. I'm not trying to attract big names. I'm trying to attract information.
Right.
I'm trying to attack, you know, that's what I want to do is I want to be able to get present to the people, you know, because not only are we going to have you guys speaking, though, but there's going to be free speakers outside as well for the public. It's a free event to come into. The VIP tickets, you know, that's where you get the air conditioning and the indoor bathroom. So there'll be porta potties there. For everybody else,
ooh,
you know, there'll be food outside for everybody else, but for the inside, for the VIP speakers, you know, that's where, yeah, they get the cool swag bag. But outside, I mean, I'm gonna have, you know, Dano from the Crypto Podcast coming on talking, you know, outside talking. I'm gonna have Chumming with the Spirits, they're gonna be set up as well. They're gonna do a presentation outside for the public. Nevermore Hollows, they're gonna come and talk, you know. So, and then John from Miss Monsters of Mullet. So, I have those guys set up to talk in between y'all.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So there'll be VIP speakers going on inside, then they can come out and listen to the people outside.
So there's never a dull moment at the Arkansas Cryptid Fest.
We got a Bigfoot calling contest as well that's going to be happening.
I love that. So one. I love those.
So what was funny was last year at the Arkansas Paranormal Expert, these guys reached out to me and they were like, hey, do you think it'd be okay if we did a Bigfoot calling contest? I was like, I don't see why not. I'll reach out to the sending it up. The host, and she was like, oh my gosh, yes, please do it, please do it. We had a blast. We were on the news, you know, they had me come down to help judge. Even my little boy actually participated in it, and you know, trying to do a Bigfoot calling contest. So we're doing that as well. We're gonna have a DJ. We're working on trying to get a live band, so when everything's said and done, everybody, you know, finishes up with a bang, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just have a local band come on out, play, you know, a decent little set and rock it out, and then boom, we'll be done.
That sounds like a good time.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a reptile guy to come out as well and bring reptiles and stuff. And so I'm trying to get a different slew of like vendors and a different kind of, you know, something different than what most people are going to get at these, you know, festivals and these expos and stuff.
Right. And I think that's important, changing it up just for the participants coming to just enjoy themselves. Because being in this field, you know, we've hosted now our own festivals. We've attended a lot of festivals, and we've been vendors at a lot of festivals. And yes, there's a lot of overlap, and sometimes you see a lot of the same thing over and over and over. So it's nice to just get new, fresh things and ideas and experiences for people.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, for this year in Arkansas, for the Arkansas Paranormal Expo, I'm actually on the speaker list. They haven't locked in all their speakers yet, but I'm one of them that they're. You know, I'd like to back up.
Hey, you're still, you got to get your foot in the door somehow.
It's in there somewhere. So, yeah, that's where, you know, and I'll give them, the lady, she runs a great program. She really does. When we got there last year, we set up on Friday night. And Saturday morning, we got there early. As soon as I walked in the door, she was like, going, oh, good, you're here. You're going to be on the news. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? So, like, the local Channel 7 interviewed me, what I do, and what the fest is about, their fest and everything. And I was just like, cool. So, yeah, it was nice.
Yeah. It's nice to be noticed.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's not.
So, but I thought it was really cool that Bart was going to do this for us.
No, that place is so great.
Yeah, Bart's been like, he's been a great supporter of the show and whatever I can do to try and help out down there with, I mean, because he's got amazing food.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the drunken Crypto Cheeseburger is amazing.
Ooh.
And, you know, and it's a brewery as well. So, yeah.
Oh.
Come on out and have a good time. I mean, they'll be selling beer outside, so you'll be able to, you know, have it on the grounds. Yeah, you just can't leave the property with it. So the property is, it's a huge property. We got a parking areas are set up all around outside. In the back is where all the vendors and everybody be set up. There'll be a back door, a little green room area for all the VIPs so they can hang out in there and kind of laugh, goof off, and visit whatever they want to do. Then they'll have their booths outside so they can, you know, sell their wares and stuff. So, but yeah, we're excited.
Do you have a lot of vendors right now? Or what's your kind of goal for the number of vendors?
So as of this recording, and I was just talking about this morning, I need to go back and double check everything because I got so busy, I forgot who was all coming in my count. So, and I'm sure you've been there before.
Oh, yeah. No, well, yeah.
Okay. Oh, we forgot that one. Oh, we forgot that one too. Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm at right now. I'm like, oh, crap. So I need to go through. But as of right now, I think I've got to be a good 15 vendors coming.
That's counting
the podcasters as well, though.
Yeah.
So, and the VIPs, you know, that's everybody counted in. And we've got like, I can't remember who they were. They were set up by Chumming with the Spirits. They did the soda drinks.
Yeah.
I can't remember their like roadside drink.
Yeah, roadside sodas.
Yeah, I think they reached out to JD about coming down for it.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I would love for them to come down. They were so much fun. I had so much fun goofing off with them. So they would be great.
I'll text them because.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
They live in Ada.
I know. Maybe we could carpool.
That's what I was just thinking.
We'll ride in the soda and the soda trailer.
Here we go.
That'd be great.
We were down there last year too for our event we had together at Old Bart's. Yep. And I mean, minus the weather, because we went down there during the tsunami. But yeah. I had an amazing time at Old Bart's. And like you said, the food was fantastic. The experience itself was just overall positive. I mean, it's a really nice little venue, like set up perfectly for this. So I'm really excited to come back down there, experience it, get some more food. I'm really excited for that.
Well, so where we spoke at, we won't be back there. That'll be like the green room.
Yeah. Ooh. So there's even upgraded. A little
stage set up in the front, and that's where the speakers will give their presentations at.
Oh, so it's even an upgrade from that.
So we're not in the back anymore.
Yeah.
So we're going to have the whole restaurant to ourselves, and we're going to be setting up to where. So this week, this week and next week, I'll be going back down there again. I'm going to be mapping everything out on the outside where I'm going to want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, granted, it's only, you know, February, but still, you know.
It happens fast. It happens really fast.
In best timeline, it flies. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, with me, you know, like I'm busy. I've got, you know, I probably put too much on my plate. I'm going to Kansas next weekend. I'm going to be in Iola with Chumming with the Spirits, doing an overnight investigation in a mortuary. The 2 weeks after that, I'm going to be in Ozark at the Paradise Pizza Pub. MCN and presenting for a town hall meeting there. And then I'm going to Falk in April. And then I'm doing another overnight in the investigation area where I sent you guys the structures at. We've been there about 3 or 4 times now to where it almost feels like home. And this time we're going to do a weekend trip. I'm going to get there on a Friday, get everything set up. We're going to do Friday nights, you know, rest. Get up in the morning, have breakfast, and kind of keep running. We're going to have a bunch of cameras set up. We're going to have a bunch of sensors all spread out through all the properties. So that way we can try and catch something other than what, you know, some audio.
Right. And which I'm not going to get into it. You shared a little bit with us some awesome pictures. You said you've got audio as well that we haven't yet to hear. And you've even sent us videos. That's pretty awesome. And. Yeah. I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to get into it any further.
Well, on the audio, we're still going through it because there's one spot on the audio where I'm rotating the camera. I'm sitting down. I'm just kind of rotating it in my hand like this. Well, you know, so my hand. So I'm just kind of doing this with it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just kind of slowly kind of rotating it back and forth.
Like a panoramic photo.
Yeah. So at one point, I ran it for 3 minutes and it's dead quiet. I mean, you don't hear any birds. You don't hear anything at all. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This was Saturday. About a minute and a half in, you hear like 3 knocks. Mm. I don't hear them as I'm recording. I don't hear them at all. You put the headphones on and it comes in static, but on the speakers on the computer, you hear it.
Hmm.
I cannot make heads or tail out of this. I may send it to you guys. Have you guys tried? I mean, I don't know what it is.
That kind of.
It's not me knocking. It's not me doing any of that. Cause I'm just sitting there away from my, the phone's so, away from me.
Yeah.
I'm
looking at
if your phone.
And I'm the only one at that spot.
it can be, I mean, it just could have been a frequency you didn't hear. That happens a lot in a lot of audio recordings. In a lot of the audio recordings that, like, us paranormal people do, where, yeah. I mean, we've talked about the human hearing range is very limited.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a difference between frequency and decibel. So something can be loud, and we still can't hear it.
It reminded me, remember we talked with Eric from Uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was probably season one.
A while ago.
And he talked about having that recording where he was at up in Michigan somewhere, but he had that recording of, what was it, like a loud scream or something, mm-hmm. but they didn't hear it at all. But on the recording, the audio is clear as day, is loud.
So, because this is capturing audio and compressing it and making it a listenable version.
Yeah.
Because the microphone or the recording device isn't going to not pick it up.
Right.
Yep.
And
y'all want to try and hear it real quick?
Oh, on the show?
Yeah. Want to try and hear it?
Oh, sure. Gosh. We'll try.
Okay. Let me go to screen share.
Yeah. Let's try it. While he's loading this up. Yeah. I mean, that's the first thing I immediately thought of was Eric's experience when it came to that. Oh, okay. Here we go. We're getting it pulled up here. No, yeah, I'm excited.
Right. RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make sure we're turned up all the way over here.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, let's do it.
Hang on.
Oh.
Nope, it's gone.
Unexpected error. The gutnet don't want you to send it or publish it on the show. That's the problem.
That's right.
Dang gutnet. All
right, here we go. So let me just kind of skip it ahead a little bit. But you can hear just how quiet it is out there.
Yeah, there's no sound at all.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Not a peep.
Okay, because I rotate it back right around here. Okay, here a second. So I'll pause it real quick. So this is where, right here where the mouse is at, that's where the knuckle track is where I found last year.
Okay.
Okay. So, and then this summer, me and Chris were standing about right here at night, and the eye shine was over here. And it moved like this, you know, following the mouse. And then gone. I mean, went completely to the ground, was gone. And that was the big eye shine we're talking about.
Did it go behind that little hill, or what do you mean?
It just right there in the brush.
Yeah.
Right there in the brush.
Just disappeared in the brush.
Yep. Okay. So once the camera comes to the left, I start going, you'll hear it. I don't hear it now.
What? I thought I just heard it.
I heard like
okay. So then you heard it. Okay,
yeah.
So I'll back it up. I'll back it up again.
Here it comes.
Well, I actually know probably what this is.
1, 2, 3.
So you heard it. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So. I've heard that exact sound before in camera devices, and or at least extremely similar. It's echolocation with bats. So when it hits cameras, it can do that, and it can actually, if they're close enough to it, it can mess with the lens.
Hmm.
So I may be off on that, but look it up and see if you compare some of the sounds, because you can find it where echolocation is hitting like a phone recorder or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like these pops or knocks.
That's what it sounds like, pop.
Yeah. Because like, it's just essentially blowing, not blowing out the microphone, but
maxing it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole, it's, you know, we're talking a high pitch frequency that we can't hear. Like you can kind of hear them squeaking when they're really close to you.
Yeah.
But that's a different noise. Like when they're actually producing these echolocation pops, that's what that really sounds like to me. Doesn't have to be a bat, but that's just what it sounded like to me.
Hmm. Well, what if something else is using echolocation?
I mean, it could be.
Just saying.
So that's the one. This one we got. There's another one too. I'm trying to figure out whether I caught chatter or not. I need to run through some more stuff because I think I caught chatter. Because you'll hear me on the camera saying, I can hear voices. There's voices right over there. And Jacob's right, this at night. And Jacob's like right beside me. I'm like, it sounds like there's somebody talking.
And I wonder if infrasound, I've never heard it recorded on like a phone or a portable camera. So I wonder if it will do something similar to like echolocation too. I don't know.
Yeah. You gave me some ideas that go ahead and look into today. So what I'll be doing as well. I'll tell you that right now. But yeah, so we're still digging through a lot of that stuff though. But for the festival, you guys, I mean, in all honesty, this is, you know, it's a new idea. I want to do something new and different. And I'm taking a page out of y'all's book. And, you know, which, you know, y'all have been an inspiration for me for years now, you know, for everything that I'm doing. You know, I take pages, you know, I get ideas, you know, off what y'all do because, I mean, yeah, you can't help but look up. And you mentioned Cryptids of Corn and everybody knows who you're talking about. So, and being able to consider you guys friends, be able to hang out and drink coffee and laugh and goof off and, you know, have a couple of beers and get flooded out and go through the storms and flat tires. And,
yeah.
I was just telling the story about dying with Nugget.
Oh, yeah, and the tornado.
When you guys were all gone at places.
Yeah, we were busy.
And me and the dog and the cat were going to die in a place I didn't know. And the car had a flat tire, so I couldn't even leave if I wanted to.
Right, yeah.
Watching the lights swing from one end of the window to the other.
It was a good night.
It was a great night.
It was fun.
And I'm just like, me and Nugget, me and this, what? He's not a pug, American, or...
English Bulldog or American?
Frenchie.
Frenchie.
No, he's a Boston.
Boston Terrier. That's what it was, yeah.
With his old man eyes.
Yeah.
It's funny. If I'm recording an episode, he won't mess with me at all if I'm inside recording. But if I'm doing a live show, he's got to be on the show.
He just knows.
He'll be on my lap. Yep, he'll be right there in my lap. He'll look at the camera.
You need a Nugget shirt.
we're trying to come up with one. Trying to come up with to sell it, so... Because everybody's all about Nugget. Where's Nugget? Where's Nugget?
They need their Nugget of Truth.
The Nugget of Truth.
Nugget of Truth. Yeah, I can't believe I have a dog named Nugget. Thank you, kids.
My sister's dog's name is Muffin. So I think he enjoys it.
We've had muffins and pumpkins Nugget. And
yeah,
we've had people names and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, I know. But I'm excited for the fest, you guys. I want to, you know, and again, is... You know, to grow what I want to do on the festival, I mean, I want to take my friends with me and grow as well, which is why, I mean, the number one reason why I invited you guys is because, one, you're my friends. And number two is because of the fact of the matter that the information you guys have to put out is absolutely amazing, and it needs to be out there more. So I want to do what I can to try and help promote your theories and what you've come up with on the research. It's amazing. And if I have to put it on a platform to try and pull in a whole bunch of people, I'm going to do everything that I can, because the only way we're going to get to the bottom of a lot of these cryptids and the paranormal is to A, share encounters, and B, share theories and research.
Yep. Yep. And we have it's best to come together and do it.
Yep. Instead of, you know, and I don't want to, you know, it's like, you and me talked last year for the live show about doing a festival here. And you're like, you should. I was like, yeah. Then when I was up there and was looking around, and that night you were like, so what are you going to do it? Like we said earlier, I was like, yeah, maybe 2027. And you're like, going, well, that's a long way away. And I was like, yeah, do it. Just do it. And then you walked away.
Just do it.
So I sat there, and all the way home, me and Jacob are, you know, all the way coming back, and I was talking to him about it. And it took me about a week later is when I decided I was going to do it.
All right.
There you go.
Inspiring. So. We're inspiring. That's good.
By force.
Oh, we're definitely excited, and we're honored to be a part of it. It's the first one. So anyone in the near, I guess, northern Arkansas and surrounding areas, whole Texarkana area, come on down to North Little Rock, June 6th.
It's like 5 hours from Texarkana.
That's far. You can drive that far. It's worth it.
It's 2 hours.
2 hours.
That's close enough. In that circle, come out and see us, and to be at the epicenter of where all these cryptid research and theories and development is going to be taking place at Old Bart's. I'm excited.
I'm very excited.
Old Bart's. 600 North Broadway, North Little Rock.
There we go.
We'll have the ticket links below. So, yep, once again, VIP tickets get you into exclusive speakers, into the building.
You can see us.
The Friday night dinner.
Talk to us. Watch us eat.
Yeah, it is a spectacle. I'm a little bit of a show pony.
You like to show out when you're eating.
Especially if it's like barbecue.
Oh, yeah. No gloves. We're going to be eating no gloves.
I never use
no gloves.
I know. I'm letting it for them. You know, the gloves are off.
I get up and punch somebody if I see them pull out gloves.
I've used gloves who before. Does that? I've done it.
For barbecue? You?
But mostly, for barbecue? Mostly it's because I'm the one in the kitchen cooking it.
Okay, oh, well, that's different. Like,
so that's different.
Wearing gloves, digging into it. I'm talking like you go to a barbecue
restaurant
and
or like a barbecue trailer and you sit down and you pull out gloves.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I've done it. Actually, I have done it at a seafood boil.
That's not barbecue.
Well,
that's not barbecue.
I've eaten with gloves on.
Yeah, what? So the cool thing is, so we're in crawfish season here, and we're doing a crawfish boil meet and greet at Bart's on the 28th of March.
Ooh.
Shooting the heads.
Yep. So, yeah, that hasn't been officially put out yet. So I was just talking to him yesterday about it. We're getting set up. I'll create the event for it this weekend because I'm going to do a live show there, Spooky Coffee, and I'm going to bring it up. But yeah, so they want to do a crawfish boil, do a meet and greet crawfish boil, come hang out, have some crawfish. So
that sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good time. So we'll have the ticket links below. Make sure you get VIP tickets. It's the best way to support these kind of festivals, keep them going.
Right.
I'm much more excited that there's a lot new festivals, but like we've already talked about, there's a lot of festivals doing new things. Right. Some of the festivals have gotten
stale.
Very.
But that says everything.
But it's not anybody's fault. It's not that they're doing anything bad. It's just like we already said, you can only hear one person say their Bigfoot encounter
so many times.
Years in a row.
Yeah.
And paying to hear it.
And usually paying more each year.
Mm-hmm.
My other thing with that drove me was, and it hit me last year, was, you know, I was looking at the speakers for some of these events that I wanted to go to and go back to, and I was like, they're the same people. And they're just sharing the same information to where they're not trying to come out and put up anything new or share anything new at all. And there's a whole bunch of researchers out there who are not getting any credit that they deserve.
Yeah.
For the work they're putting into it. Now, these guys and gals, they're not trying to get famous. They're not trying to get their own TV shows. You know, they're researching. They're, you know, they reach out to you guys too to come on the show. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same with me. So why not be able to create a venue for these folks to come in and say, okay, this is what I'm seeing. And this was last year that I saw this. You know what I mean? This is the research I've gathered for the past X amount of years. And when I get done here, I'm going back out there again. Not, you know, again, not 1982, 1985, you know, because they're not going back out.
Right.
They're not. They become a lot of the armchair researchers, which is not a bad thing. You know, I started off as an armchair researcher.
Yeah. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And then even still today, though, so if I'm not in the woods, I am doing armchair research, but I'm looking up for the new people.
New ideas,
new information, new ideas. And, you know, because, you know, like that's where I came up with the whole spider crawl theory, to where I think that they move more as a spider crawl down on all fours than they do on upright. And the evidence is right in your intro. I mean, it just stood up.
Going and going.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It just stood up. 90% of encounters start off with that phrase. It just stood up. It stood up. It stood up. It stood up. Well, I'm a bipedal creature. I don't squat down a lot.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's also talk about the tracks. So we have the two sets of tracks. They're walking along, awesome, boom, they disappear, right? All the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So either A, they're going to the portals. And if they were the jump, the last set would actually be more impressioned in
right.
because of the weight they're putting down to lift.
Push off. Yep.
Exactly. So what if when they get to that point, they do drop down that spider crawl? And they're not trying to hide their tracks from us. I think that we give these creatures too much credit sometimes for being intelligent. And sometimes I don't think we give them enough. You know, like they don't know where our cell phones are. So they're not trying to hide their tracks from us. I think it's a natural ability. So if they do drop down the spider crawl and they are walking on their knuckles, like a lot of primates will do, if your knuckles aren't being fully impressioned in, it may look like a screwed up deer track.
Could, yeah. And with weight distribution, you know, it's not going to be as deep or as noticeable as plain old foot.
Yeah. And they're not doing it. Also, so if they're on their toes moving that way, you're not going to get the, you know, the big track that I have behind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like the I sent you the one picture we caught this weekend of a track, and it's the left foot, because you can see the big toe, but it's only, honestly, I mean, the whole, it's not, that's about it. It's not a hand, but it's a foot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about that big around, and that could be from they were moving like a spider crawl, and maybe that's how they're stalking their prey. They get down that spider crawl, and these structures that are low, you know, we're not seeing 10-foot, you know, structures.
Right.
You know, they're anywhere from, you know, 3 to 4, 3 feet all the way up to maybe 5 feet.
Mm.
So either A, they are using the structures to go ahead and, you know, put their young, or B, they're using them as a hunting blind.
Just down in, huddle them down in them.
Yeah. So if you look at the structures, where the structures are set up at a lot of times, there's game trails right beside them.
Just reach out and grab them.
Yeah, exactly. Boom. Free meal.
Yeah.
So I think that might be part of their hunting tactics.
And too, we talked about when someone has a sighting or something and they're searching the wood line for it, you know, whatever the creature is walking away, or sometimes they just disappear because you're looking up,
yep,
you know, where their shoulders and heads should be, but they might drop down, be crawling in the brush right below it. And you, to you, that's, it's disappeared. Something that big can't just be gone.
Well, that was so what really inspired me on that one too, though, was the ice shine that we encountered this past summer.
Mm.
So the way it moved. So, you know, me and Chris weren't taking into account that there was a slope.
Okay.
From where we're standing at, where it was at. And I saw it this weekend. So I called Chris up. I said, hey, there's an incline. Because I was trying to get Jacob to reenact it. You know what I mean? Get Jacob to move where it was at. And I was looking at going, Jacob, you're the height right there, the what we were looking at. So Jacob's height, you know, Jacob's just about right at 6 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. And the way it moved, it was upright. It flowed from left to right in a straight line. No bobbing, no weaving, flowed. Dropped down lower. It dropped a good couple of feet, just straight down. Still looking at us. I'm walking slowly towards it. When it dropped down the first time, it blinked. So when the eyes blinked, I'll be honest, I did take a step back. And I went, oh, okay, you're real.
Yeah.
And then it flowed again from left to right in a straight line. Drop lower, and it was moving as when I was moving towards it, and I probably got maybe 5 to 7 feet away from it and was lower to the ground and gone.
Gone.
No running off into the woods, no rustling of leaves, nothing was there at all. And it was too big to be a small animal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So what do you make of that?
I think the spider crawl. I think whatever it was doing was dropping down and moving the spider crawl.
And that,
I think it's more natural for them. I think it might be a more natural gait for them.
It also seems it's more reasonable explanation if it is a flesh and blood creature, you know, to do something like that rather than, you know, the portal idea.
Yeah.
Not saying the portal idea is wrong or anything.
No. But I'm not saying that idea. I'm not saying that either. I'm not, because
it's easier to explain. Yeah.
I agree. I agree.
100%. Sometimes the simplest solutions are the best ones.
I agree. I mean, I do think that there are some paranormal aspects to some of these creatures and these sightings. And I don't think that every sighting that we have is a flesh and blood one. I do think there are some paranormal ones.
Correct.
That tie in. There seems to be one thing I've been fascinated on for the past couple of years, though, with the Fae folk and with the Fae being brought into a lot of these sightings and hauntings. You know, we're having new subdivisions being built all the time.
Yeah.
And for some reason, those houses are haunted. Not that the fact that they're built on a, you know, Indian burial ground, because that's what America is.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter that, you know, it's maybe that we're encroaching into some of the Fae territories and Fae folk. And so, like you said it before in your show, is, you know, you take what happens out in the woods and a lot of these encounters and you put it into a house, you have a poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or you take phenomenon. A poltergeist, you put it out in the woods, you have a cryptid encounter.
Yep.
So what's the common tie in there?
Right.
I mean, to me, it's the Fae.
Where do you draw the difference between the two?
Yeah, I think it's Fae activity.
That's what I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's reasonable. That's the thing. It's reasonable. Because how much crossover is there? I mean, is Bigfoot? I mean, that's the question at the end of the day. I think for all of us that believe in Bigfoot is it a flesh and blood creature, or is it something paranormal, or is it something in between?
Yes.
And I don't know where you draw the line. Is it, are they separate entities, you know, or is it all one thing? You know, I just really don't know.
Well, what gets me is the red eye ones. Those are what drive me. Those are what, I wouldn't say drive me nuts, but those are the ones that I perk up at and I have to pause. And, you know, with the whole entire, you know, concept of the eyeball and how we see, you know, with the light coming in, bouncing everything off, and we're only, you know, we only see, but if you have glowing eyes, I mean, I'm trying to see how you're going to draw light in. If you're a natural creature, I mean, wouldn't the red, wouldn't the redness.
So I between the eye shine and eye glow, you know, that's a hard definition for people, the average person, to really understand the difference. Because you're seeing like animals like that don't have any lucid percutum, the little lens that helps reflect extra light. Sometimes they actually shine red because of the blood vessels in the back of the eye.
We do. That's why you have the red eye flash.
Yeah. That's why, cameras should have, it's not really an issue anymore, but old cameras used.
Yeah. That's gone now, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We all looked demonic back in the day.
Like, what's this red eye button on my camera? It's gone now.
But yeah, producing light inside of the eye would not be beneficial for how a traditional eye works. But there are animals, specifically deep sea animals, that produce light around the edges of the eye, use it as headlights. And some of them are red.
I still think of too, when we interviewed Daryl Sims, he talked about his experience as a kid where he was, aliens were basically abducting him in the middle of it. And he woke up and as a kid, and he had, where one was like basically right in front of his face, he was staring at this gray with two big black, you know, eyeballs, like what you think from the cartoons. And he claimed he reached and just grabbed one of them and was able to pull it off like it was a lens.
He kind of punched it, right?
I think, from what I remember, he just reached forward and grabbed it.
I thought he kind of hit it and it fell off because he broke out of the control.
I remember him breaking out of the control. I don't know. But from my memory, he just grabbed it.
I think he hit it.
Either way, it's on the recording.
Yeah.
Either way, the lens was off, and that's what he described as being a lens, but behind it was just this red, it was red, and I think maybe like some white in there.
Like static, almost.
Yeah.
It was how, like he said, like an old TV.
Mm-hmm. But it was red.
It was red with other like colors, like a computer's.
Right. Something weird like that. So, and you know, that's really odd and unique, but I believe him.
Yes.
And I wonder if I always wondered if maybe the red with some of these cryptids, where I think the red's never a good thing when you see the red eyes.
I don't think it is either.
And I wonder if there's some relation with whatever grays are and then whatever these Bigfoot cryptid creatures are with the red eyes, if there's any overlap. You know, maybe they are creations. Maybe they're made, you know, in a lab somewhere or grown somewhere, and that's the tell, or their biology, like it's like technology and biology combined, you know, to where that's the behind it. That's that red color is what you see. It's the common denominator, I guess, whatever runs them both. So I don't know. That was just a thought I had as well.
Well, it's also kind of funny that, you know, we're talking about the color red. I mean, we use red all the time as kind of a warning color if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stop signs are red, stop lights are red. You know, the red color is kind of like, it's an attention to get like, stop, you know, bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
you know, especially something like in nature. The, you know, in the animal world as well, some of these red, you know, the coral snake. Am I saying it right? Hang on.
No, coral snake, snakes.
Red, you know, red on black. You know. You
know. Yeah. You know, you're right.
Yeah. So
red and yellow, you'll be a dead fellow. Red and black, friend of Jack.
Exactly. So, but that color red, though, seems to be some sort of like color to where stay away from. So maybe that is where there's something programmed into us, you know, kind of like the fear of, you know, snakes and other creatures as well from, you know, earlier days that, we say. So maybe that's where that color red comes into play. Oh my God.
I mean,
probably not seeing it right.
Perhaps I could also rebuttal that though by saying like red's the, you know, the color of love and attraction too.
I mean, there is a lot of red food.
Yeah. Or red is your root chakra, you know, your base one. You know, so is, I don't know. I don't know where to draw the line.
I don't either. I'm just spitballing here. That's yeah. But I think that's what we're all doing.
I think that's important.
And I think, yeah. And if we don't spitball, I mean, you get an idea if you don't share it. And that's one thing I love about our community. When we get ideas, we'll share them.
Yeah. You're not afraid to.
One person goes, you're an idiot. No. Instead, it's like going, okay, I could see that, but hold on. Let me counter that. Oh, okay. Because we bring in these perspectives until you have to be open-minded enough about mm-hmm. these encounters and about these creatures to be able to sit down and have an adult conversation and be like, yes, okay, this is, you know, because my sighting is going to be different. As I know, Justin had his crazy sighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I talk about, mm-hmm. you know, as well with people. And, you know, you're not the only one. This guy that, you know, the one video that I showed you guys before we went on, and because that episode for me hasn't aired yet. He, after what he encountered at night down there in Texas, he refused to go out into the woods or anything at night.
Mm-hmm. There's so many Bigfoot things like that.
And, you know, that's what we speculate maybe why some of it's covered up is to not harm the camping industry, you know, their valuable billion-dollar industry.
Billions or trillions.
You can't, you know, we can't affect the almighty dollar. That comes first, people.
Nope. And I have some ideas, too, for you on the shack, but I'll talk to you about that later.
Oh, we'll let those guys know, too.
Yeah, send it over to them.
Yeah, yeah, if you don't mind. Yes, you should.
We'll pass them the note.
We just leave notes in the vents and they find them.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
but, all right, let's wrap it up for this, because I know we could talk forever. And I'm sorry, I'm still not feeling well. I got sick yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage all of our listeners, if you're not listening to Drunken Cryptids podcast please do give Matthew a listen and a 5-star review and a comment.
And then the tickets.
I appreciate it.
The VIP tickets.
And I will be at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree 3 again this year.
Oh, yeah.
Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree 3 featuring Jamboree. Matthew Orton and Drunken Cryptids podcast.
Put them on the roof.
Yeah.
But we'll have tickets. We'll have the link for the tickets for the Arkansas Cryptid Fest and... I don't know. Do you have any hotel booking, lodgings, anything like that for the festival?
No, just the surrounding areas. There's so many hotels around.
Okay.
Honestly, there's a ton of them, and they're all great.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I have been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
I've been J Clone 36.
And you know how we like to end it. On the count of three, we'll scream bye, and the outro will play. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Bye.
Bye.
Guys, thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye. Bye.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.